Thank you for listening to this Calvary Apostolic Church podcast. We believe this message will be a blessing to you. If you do not have a church home, we would love for you to join us for worship in the near future. God bless you.
The scripture talks on many occasions about a seed being planted in the ground. And if you have faith, you are willing to put seed in the ground and allow it to go through the process of germination, and then something sprouts up out of something so ugly. Some of you children love to play in the mud, the dirt. Carly, I'm preaching to you tonight back there. Growing up where I did and when I did, I was allowed to be a part of season of planting. And then on the farm where my dad worked, I was allowed to be a part of the harvest process. And when we moved to Columbus, I wasn't just allowed to be a part. I was made to be a part of making a garden. And I remember my dad would plant things and they would disappear. We would bury them in the soil with confidence that if the conditions were right, that something would spring forth out of that and there would be fruit and there would be a production because of our labor. And every one of us in our walk with God start out in seed form. And we are planted in situations sometimes that don't look conducive to growing good crops. And this week I've seen in the Spirit there are some of you who are coming up out of ground that does not look to be prosperous ground. And you're having to press aside the things that are pressing in around you. It's the things that are underneath the surface, and you're trying to break up out of the ground. But I'm here with a word for you tonight. You will not be drowned out by the things that are pressing in upon you. But the Lord is going to sustain you. The Lord is going to bring you up. The Lord is going to lift you out of that dry and barren ground. The Lord is going to pull you out of that distress. And the Lord is going to pull you out of that adverse situation. He did not plant you there to leave you in distress. He did not plant you there to leave you in adverse circumstances. But the Lord has a way of planting something where nobody else thinks it should be planted. And He can watch something grow up out of ground that everybody else thought was useless without a purpose. And I see in the Spirit tonight, it was on my heart as I went to bed last night. It was on my heart when I got up this morning. It's been on my heart all day. I laid down for a nap, and as I laid down, the scripture kept coming to my mind. And when I woke up the same, I got down to pray and I felt the same. I have a vision in the Spirit, and I don't operate a lot like this here at the church. You expect me to preach, or you're accustomed. You don't expect. You're accustomed to me preaching from notes and from a sermon and from a scripture and a text and a title. And oftentimes when I evangelize, this is how the Lord would deal with me and give me a picture. Can I have that picture on the screen if you've got it? There's a few of you that feel like you look just like that. You feel like your life hasn't felt rain in some time. How am I going to grow when everything around me looks like that, and it looks like I'm being separated from the soil, and I've just broken through, but how am I going to continue to grow? And some of you can identify directly with that picture tonight on the screen. You feel like you're just that little plant that is trying to produce out of ground that does not look conducive to bearing fruit. But I am telling you in the spirit tonight, there is something here from the Lord where he's going to infuse into you what you need to spring forth. He is not going to allow you to be choked out. He's not going to allow you to be drowned out. He's not going to allow you to be choked by the things around you. But the Lord is going to bring you forth out of that soil that doesn't look like it has a purpose. That looks like nothing can grow there. It doesn't look like there's any purpose in that soil. But I'm telling you tonight, if that's how you feel, I've got a word from you for you tonight. The Lord is about to give you some sustenance in your distress. The Lord is about to bring you forth out of dry ground. God doesn't need perfect conditions to produce the miraculous. He just needs you to believe that he is able to perform the miraculous. God doesn't need perfect growing. God doesn't need perfect soil. He needs you to believe that if he put that seed in the ground, it would bring forth fruit. The word of God doesn't go forth and return void. The Lord doesn't spread seed and expect it to return void. If he spread the seed in your life, he expects a harvest to come forth. There's a few things you've got to do when you plant a harvest. There are many nights my great dad falls asleep watching YouTube videos of other people farming. It sounds like there's a tractor in his bedroom and you go up there and it's just him and his iPad. I enjoy it too. I don't enjoy it as much as he does, but I identify with it. There's common ground between he and I there. No pun intended with the ground. But if you're going to produce a harvest, you can't just plant seed and put a watchman on the wall and say, "Hey, when there's fruit, call me." And sometimes we expect God to plant us someplace and we say, "Hey God, I'll hang out here. You call me when I'm going to start producing fruit. God, you just get my attention when I'm supposed to start producing fruit." No, when you put a seed in the ground, when Brother Ubel grows those hot peppers, he puts that seed in the ground and then he has to go back and he has to make sure the weeds aren't encroaching on that seed. He has to make sure it's watered. He has to make sure it's taken care of. And if you plant a cornfield, you plant it in the rows just wide enough that you can get your thin-wheeled tractor through with the sprayer. And you've got to spray and you've got to take care of that seed that you've placed in the ground, because a foolish farmer puts seed in the ground in April and then comes back in September hoping to reap a harvest that is in perfect condition. I want to help some people here tonight. You have to take care of the things going on around you. If you're going to come up out of that crown God planted you in, you've got to make sure the things of life don't encroach around you. You've got to uproot every weed that comes into your life that tries to choke you out. If you allow your garden, it'll turn into a weed bed, not a garden. Those tomato plants got to be staked and so they don't fall over and grow sideways instead of up, so they won't produce the same size and the same quality of tomato. But hear me tonight, you've got to take care of what is being planted in the ground. And the Lord has planted some of you. And the reason you feel choked out is because you've not taken care of the soil that's around you. You've not taken care of the things that you feel around you. And in the spirit tonight, I feel you desperate saying, "God, how am I going to grow in my distress? How am I going to grow in my affliction, in my anguish, in my tribulation, in my adversity?" But David said, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness," from Psalm 4, verse 1. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Just leave that on the screen for me. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. God, I feel like I've been shrinking and I feel like I've been shriveling and I feel like every time some new wind comes, it just makes the ground around me that much tougher to pull the weeds out of and to tend and take care of the seed that's in the ground. But David said, Lord, you made me greater in my distress. Lord, though I was facing distress, you made me stronger. Lord God, though I was facing adverse circumstances, you made me bigger and greater. I grew in my distress. We have the false belief that we grow stronger when there's no adversity. But you've got to understand spiritually, what would we work hard enough for the growth if there was no adversity? But sometimes the adversity causes us to push through and say, no matter what I face, no matter how I feel, no matter what it looks like, there's something been planted in the soil of my spirit, and I will grow in adverse circumstances. I have been planted here for a reason, and I will prosper until I'm plucked up and put someplace else. While God has me here, I'm going to be prosperous. While God's got me here, I'm going to bear fruit. It does not matter how I feel about it. It does not matter what it looks like. While I'm here, I'm going to bear fruit. If you're not willing to bear fruit where you are, why do you think God would move you to someplace better? Why would I expect God to uproot me and plant me someplace better while I'm not bearing fruit where I am? The first reason is you can't uproot an unhealthy plant. God, why haven't you moved me onto the stages that you promised to? God's not going to uproot an unhealthy plant. It'll die in the process. You have got to make sure a plant or a tree comes to maturity before you move it into someplace new. That's why the nursery doesn't let you buy the one-year-old trees. You've got to buy the 2- and 3-year-old trees. That's why you can't uproot something that's new fresh, because it'll be choked out by the transformation. It'll be choked out when you take it in the transplant from one place to another. It'll be choked out. And there are some of you saying, God, I put in my time. I've got perfect attendance. Now, why haven't you moved me? It's because we don't take care of the things around us. It's because we don't pluck up the things that have come in to be an adversary to us. It's because that we face things that we have not plucked up and removed and put someplace else and got them out of our way. It's because the voices of discouragement have stayed in our ear too long. It's because we've allowed the frustration to dictate our actions instead of the faith that got us planted there. And so I see here tonight, if you'll give me that again, that picture. I see you tonight. God, when are you going to send me rain? God, when are you going to send me something from above? When God's saying, it's the roots that need to dig down deeper, not the leaves that need to raise up higher. I need your root system to dig down deeper before your plants can grow any higher. You've got to do something where nobody can see before I'm going to do something that everybody can see. You've got to do the work underneath the soil that's not celebrated. I don't think that Jim or Riff have ever mowed a yard and one of their clients come out and said, my God, I love what you've done with the root system of my grass. But they all say, hey, I love the results of what you've done with my yard. Because they're looking at the fruit after the process. And that's what we get our eyes fixated on. God, I want to see me at my end result so everybody knows what you've been doing in my life. The scripture says, what you do in secret, the Lord will reward openly. But what you reward openly, that's the extent of your reward. The accolades you give yourself is the end of the reward. And so if you will be more worried about the root system than you are bearing fruit, the Lord will take care of the fruit if you'll take care of the root. It's your responsibility to grow roots down and let the Lord bring you up. It's your responsibility to say, I must decrease into the ground so He can increase. It's your responsibility to say, I've got to dig as deep as I can in prayer so the Lord can allow fruit to come from the branches that spring up above. Psalm 4 again, please. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. When it looked like I was supposed to be choked out, God enlarged me. When I looked as though I wasn't going to make it, somehow God enlarged me. And there are a few people that feel like that picture looks that we had up there a couple of moments ago, where you feel like everything's about to abandon you and there's no nourishment in the soil where you're planted and there's nothing left. I'm here to tell you tonight, the Lord is about to enlarge you in your distress. The Lord is about to raise you up in your distress. God, I need my problems to go away so I can grow. You need to grow where your problems are. You need to grow right there where you are. Start weeding and take care of that crown and getting that stuff out. God, I'm getting rid of the discouragement. God, I'm getting rid of all those things that are coming in that try to weigh me down. So Lord God, in my distress, I can be enlarged. I can grow in my distress, God. I feel in my spirit a burden for people tonight who feel like they've been choked out by what's going on in the surface. I put on my tie straight in the mirror. I tried to buy shoes and a belt that matched. I tried to make sure my shirt and tie matched because I want to look presentable. I have no idea if my tie is still straight. I have no idea if my hair still looks the same as it did when I left the mirror. But I spend so much time getting ready for everybody else to see what I look like. But how much time do we spend getting our heart right so when the Lord steps into the service, we look right, not only on the outside and we look put together and everything's okay with that, but I'd rather look good in the spirit to God than I would in the flesh to the people around me. Because man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And so I need to take more care of my roots than I do of my leaves. Let God worry about my branches. If I worry about my root system, I can dig deep roots. I can dig down into the root system and I can dig for water that's deep. I might have to go through a barren place and my root system better be deep. Let's have the picture again. If you're going to transplant a tree, you don't cut it off at ground level. Pick it up and hope it produces new roots. It may lose some fruit and it may lose some leaves in the process of transferring from one place to the other, but it won't lose its root system if you get it out right. They got this big machine. It looks like a bunch of shovels together. Anybody seen it? That thing goes 6 feet wider than I think it needs to, because there is something arborists need. And they know that I didn't know. The roots are more important than the fruit. Because without the root, you've got no fruit. Pastor, why do I got to pray every single day for longer than just a couple of minutes? Because when I go through a dry and a barren place, it's important that my roots can find the nourishment in the soil. A crop can stand without rain if it's got roots that are deep enough. But I need that outside source. God, would you just let somebody else come by and give me a word that would just sprinkle on the leaves so the leaves look good? Just put a little water on the leaves and they'll perk up just for a time. Just put a little water on the rose petals and it'll look like they came back to life for a moment. But if you keep them directly planted in water, they'll flourish for time after time after time. And so it matters how deep your roots are. It matters that you're digging down deep into the soil of the Spirit. It matters that you take care of the things that are trying to encroach in around you. Somebody needs to hear me tonight. You feel choked out by the things going on around you. If you'll dig your roots deeper, it'll be worth it. You won't feel like you're going to die every time the wind blows. You'll be able to go a few days in desolation without rain. There are people under the sound of my voice and in the Spirit, you've gone for a while without rain. Your prayers felt dry. Your prayers felt desolate. Your prayer life has felt like you've just checking a mark off. Sometimes God's just testing to see how deep the roots are. Are you more concerned about what it looks like above? Or are you willing to dig down and say, I've got to find water somewhere. I've got to find water somewhere. If you dig deep enough in this earth, you'll find water somewhere. Those old men in the Old Testament sometimes had to dig 100 feet in the desert to find a bucket of water. Why did they keep digging? Because they understood if I dig deep enough, there'll be water right here. Now, there were places that water was just on the above the ground. There was just natural springs. But oftentimes, in the Spirit, God doesn't plant you next to a natural spring. God doesn't put you next to a natural spring where it's just easy to go draw water from. When I was a kid, not too far from our house, I remember there'd be people stop on the side of the road with gallon jugs of water. I don't even remember where it was. I just remember what it looks like. And they would stop and get free water out of that natural spring. And in the Spirit, if we're not careful, the church will become accustomed to just stepping in on Sundays and bringing our gallon jug and just filling up and hoping we don't run out before next Sunday. I brought my jugs with me, Pastor. Fill it up. Pastor, I brought the gallon jug for the water for my family for the week. Would you just fill me up on Sunday so I can just live on it till next Sunday? But if you'll dig roots down, if I preach the word to you on Sunday or not, there will always be water for your plant. If for some reason you can't make it to the house of God, you can still have water for your family. Dad, if you can't make it to the house of God, are you going to have empty buckets in the house? Or you got a root system you can get down to? Young person, if the water bucket of my message runs out by Wednesday, do you have a system, a root system you can get down and find water for yourself? If my message doesn't just strike you right on Sunday morning and you feel like I just left you with an empty water bucket, do you got a root system that can sustain you? You're used to leaning on somebody else for a word from the Lord, but what if that word dries up in their spirit? I'm going to call so-and-so. They always have a word from the Lord for me. What if God dries up that well? What are you going to do? You know what? I'll just jump online and listen to somebody else's sermon. We've got to understand. Pastor and the pulpit cannot dig down our root system for us. I can come through every once in a while and I can weed out what's around you. I can dig around the things if you'll allow me to. I can dig out around the plant. I can pull up those weeds so they won't choke out the fruit. But I can't find water for you. I can pour it out on the leaves and you'll see the results of it for a moment. It'll be momentary. But there's coming a time when there's going to be a drought and there may not be water on the surface. How is God going to enlarge me in my distress? He's going to allow you to tap into a water system that nobody else can see. He's going to allow you to dig down into a water system that nobody else can see. That means that only the plants that are willing to go that deep can get to it. There'd be times when I was a kid and my dad would plant a garden and he'd put two tomato plants side by side and one would prosper and the other one may bear small fruit that we couldn't even eat. What was the difference? Sometimes they grew the same height for a while. Sometimes it looked as though they were going to prosper the same for a while. But at the end of the year, when we cleared out the garden, we would begin to pluck them up and get this garden ready for next season. And what we'd find, the ones that didn't produce had the short roots. But we had to tug on the ones that produced. And that way, when something comes into your life and tries to uproot you, you've got a root system so deep down that it can't just pull you up. It can't just discard you. It can't just put you by the wayside. If your roots are deep, the wind of the doctrine that comes by that tries to blow you over when somebody says, you know what they're preaching up there? It doesn't matter anymore. People who are weak without a root system say, oh, really? Then plant me someplace else. But somebody with a root system said, no, I got a water source you can't see. I've got a water source you can't get to because I got roots deeper than you can see. It matters what's going on underneath the surface. And so I'd rather my life be right than my tie be right. I'd rather have a spirit that matched the word than a belt that matched my shoes. I looked like I had a good word tonight when I walked in and everything was right. And Brother Robinson met me in the parking lot and said, you have a word tonight? You ready to preach? I said, I think I am. But that was based on outward appearance. But you got to understand what's going on in the soil matters more than what's going on above the soil. You've got to understand that though you might be in distress and it might look like you haven't seen rain in a while, if you'll just let your roots find the water system, you can survive, as it was preached last week, in a famine. Some of you feel like there's been no rain in a while in your spirit, but you can survive a famine if your root system is deep. Psalm 64:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in a time of trouble. Distress means narrow place or tight place or trouble. He's an ever-present help in my distress. When it looks like he's abandoned me, he's put a water system deep beneath the surface that if my roots can get to, I'll be okay. I can make it through the storm. I can make it through the wind. I can make it through the adversity if I'll make sure my root system has met the water source. I can keep all of the branches trimmed. I can keep all the fruit plucked. But I can't make the tree grow roots. I can make sure you hear everything you need to by the help of God from the outside. But I can't go home with you and force you to dig roots down at home. If the only time the root system gets nourished is in the house of God, there's a problem. When does the rose bloom? When the sun rises. When do the flowers look the prettiest, and when do they open and when do they close? At the rising of the sun. If you go to very, very short grass, typically, ironically, on golf courses, in the morning, the grain of the grass will be going that way. But by evening, the grain of the grass may be going that way because it's following the sun. The fruit always follows the light, but the root grows in darkness. So let me help you. You've got to go fruit in the daytime when the light's shining on you. But you got to grow roots when everything's dark around you. You can only produce that fruit when the light's shining on you, because it takes sunlight to grow fruit. I got patches in my yard that don't grow grass because I got too many trees. I got 4 very large trees on a very small plot of land, and my grass suffers because of it. Now my front yard needs mowed 2 or 3 times more than my backyard because of the sunlight that comes. But there is a root system underneath that soil that is deep. Because that tree understood, if I'm going to stay here through adversity, I've got to grow when the sun shines on me and when the sun disappears from my life. And so you've got to understand, if you're going to make it, you've got to grow roots even when it's dark, when it's ugly, when you're in distress, when it doesn't look like it's going right, when it looks like everything's against you, when you can't see your way out of it, you've got to start digging down and growing roots. When you don't feel like rolling out of bed to talk to God, you've got to roll out of bed and dig roots down. When you're giving your morning prayer with God, when you do your daily devotion, when you read that word, you're not bearing fruit, you're digging roots so you can bear fruit. When you're with God alone by yourself in your distress and in your dilemma, and your body and your mind and your spirit want to have a woe is me party, you've got to understand that maybe the sun's not shining on me, and maybe it's a cloudy day, and maybe the grass isn't growing in my situation, but I've got to understand this is my moment to grow roots deep so I can grow fruit high. I've got to understand this is my moment to make a difference, to get to that water system deep down that nobody else can see. Anybody ever see those people who look like they're never having a bad day? Now, some of that's fake. But some of it's absolutely real. And when you find out why that person always has a good day, if you were able to see what God sees, you'd understand they got a root system that cannot be shaken by trial. It cannot be shaken by tribulation. It cannot be shaken by frustration. It cannot be shaken by somebody's discouraging word. It cannot be shaken by a faithless moment. It can't be shaken by a trial that they're going through. Nothing can shake the roots. The wind shakes the branches, but nothing shakes the roots if they're deep enough. And there are some of you tonight that you are in a situation and that's what you feel like. How is God going to get me out? I've got a word for you. God's going to enlarge you if you can get to the water system deep down in the earth that he put there. It's a natural thing that's always available. Night, day, it's there in good times. It's there in bad times. It's there whenever you need it. It's there on a sunny day and it's there in a storm. It's the natural system that God put in the earth to let the earth bring forth fruit. He said, be fruitful and multiply. How do you do it? You have a root system. And the enemy's tried to shake some of you in your root system. The enemy's tried to come in and say, you ought to see what you look like from the outside. Your house is a mess. Your family's a mess. Nobody has confidence in you. I would remind you the story I've told here, and I'll close with this. I believe it was 2006. We had 6 days of no power. My family went over to, I believe it was Chad and Autumn's apartment at the time, to take showers because we had no hot water. We lived Christmas without power in our house. My dad kept the fireplace going, and we put up sheets in all the doorways to keep enough heat in the house for that area of the house so that we could enjoy Christmas. The sun went down. The only thing that lit the house was candles and the fire in the fireplace. There was a tree in the backyard, an apple tree, that every once in a while it would produce good fruit. And I love apple pie and vanilla ice cream, and my mom's great at making apple pie, and she's really good at buying vanilla ice cream. And Dad and I, the next year, said that ice storm killed that apple tree. And we had one of those gym days scheduled where Jimmy worked for Jim. Aside from the other work that Jimmy does for Jim, And he said, son, we'll get rid of that apple tree. The yard will look a lot better because it's not producing any fruit because that storm killed that apple tree. Dad and I neglected because it looked like a lot of work, and it went one season and came to the next spring and nothing but dead branches. The next year, we talked about it. Hey, when's a good time to cut down that tree? And he'd say, hey, son, if you don't have a lot going on, I could use some help. That's a sign for Jimmy. I want you to take your day off and help me. So we talked about it over and over and over again. About the third or fourth year, which happened in December 2006, and it wasn't until about 09, maybe 2010, that one spring day, Dad said, Jimmy, there's buds on that apple tree. I said, the one that died in the storm? He said, yeah, look at it. It didn't produce fruit the first season that it had buds. But it was the next year that we plucked apples from the branches. Mom froze the apples and we enjoyed apple pie and vanilla ice cream from a tree that we almost cut down because we only understood what was going on above the surface. I couldn't see what was going on beneath the surface. I had a visual understanding of what I could see, but I could not see and know what an arborist would know. He would know not to cut down the tree as soon as it went through a dry season. Some of you have been going through seasons and you see every other tree planted beside you producing fruit and you're thinking, I'm going to cut me down because I'm not producing anything. I'm going to get rid of me because I'm not producing something. But hear me tonight, though you may not be able to see that the fact that God is about to enlarge you in your distress, God is about to pluck you up and plant you in a place that you will bring forth fruit. You've gone through a season. God, when are you going to get me out of this? If you'll stay faithful, he'll get you out of it. He'll bring you out of it. And if he never moves you, produce where you're planted. If God never moves you, just produce right there. If God never plucks you up and moves you, produce. But if he moves you, find a new root system. Find a new source. Stay standing with me. There's a few of you here tonight that you have been plucked up and you've been planted someplace else. Just because it's easier where you've been freshly planted doesn't mean you don't need the root system that you had in the last place. Because just as one state and one nation goes through a drought, another can go through the same. It's amazing. Marysville can get ice and snow 30 miles north that I never get at my house in Gahanna. And so that would tell me there are people in this church who are sitting on this side who are getting rain to go to the roots and on the leaves that the people on this side are not seeing. But hear me tonight. Every person, nowhere, no matter where you're planted, you've got to have a root system. You've got to make sure you can get to the source. Say I miss one week and my sermon's not good. Can you make it if I don't preach a good one that Sunday? If I don't tickle the ears of the hearers, can you make it? Or are you going to die because of lack of water? Or can you find a root system that nobody can see? If I've touched it all on anything you're dealing with in your life, I want you to walk to this altar right. It's just a burden tonight. It's not frustration with anybody. It's not anger with anybody. But God's just set me by tonight to tell you, you've got to dig roots for yourself. If trees are planted close enough together, they can rub branches and one have no roots and the other have deep roots. It's not enough to rub shoulders with somebody with roots. It's not enough to just associate with people who have strong roots. Iron sharpeneth iron, and so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Yes. But that doesn't make your root system any deeper just because they sharpened you with their conversation, because their friendship. I'm preaching to every person in here, including myself tonight. It looks desolate right now, but the Lord will enlarge you in your distress, because he's an ever-present help in a time of trouble. So when you're in your trouble, he's an ever-present help. He's an ever-present help with the system he's put in the ground that doesn't fade away with the seasons. The water and nourishment is always in the ground. If you need this, I want you to lift your hands right now. Don't pray yet. I want you just to reach your hands toward heaven. Just wait to pray. Wait. Just a sign of surrender. I want those hands up all over this house, if you will. Just with your hands up and a sign of surrender, just keep your hands up. God, you see the surrendered wills all over this house right now. And we're in a season of distress. Lord God, there's people I've preached to tonight whose roots can't sustain them in a wind that's small. And there are some people who have got roots that nothing can change them. Nothing can sway them, but Lord God, we've all dealt with situations that made us fear that we need to be plucked up and planted someplace else. But sometimes you leave us right where we are. So God, I surrender my will to unite tonight. I surrender my agenda. I surrender my time frames. I surrender everything to you. Lord God, would you have your way in my life? If you need that, would you cry out to him right now? Lord Jesus, I've got to get my roots deep. Lord God, if you never move me, I pray I would not be moved by the things around me. God, let my roots go deep. God, I care more about my roots than I do my fruit. Because if I've got roots, I can have fruit. Somebody needs to dig a little bit. Somebody needs to discard those things that have been encroaching on you. Those things that have come in and been a distress to you. Somebody needs to push them out of the way with your prayer tonight. Somebody needs to remove the weeds that have come to choke you out tonight. The frustration that you've entertained needs to be removed. Somebody press just a moment. Your victory's present here tonight if you can press through. The system you need to tap into is available tonight. Somebody needs to get to the system and tap into it right now. Somebody get to that system of nourishment. Somebody get to that place where you don't feel like your roots are dry and brittle, but you feel like they've got something that they can tap into, something that they can sustain them if the drought comes. The surface might feel dry, but the roots can stay nourished. God, if there's a give up in our spirits, I rebuke it now. If there's a give up in our spirits, I push it away now. I pray against every encroaching spirit. I pray against every spirit that's encroached the mind. That system's available if you'll push in the spirit. I take authority over every encroaching spirit that's tried to choke the life out of the root system. You've got to uproot it so it doesn't steal your nourishment. You've got to uproot it so it doesn't rob you of your nourishment. Hey! Rabahaye. There needs to be a young person press in. You made a decision to press in a while ago, but it got dry and it got tough. But the roots got to go down until they get what they need.